hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for thy blessings. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You might be seated. There's such a sweet spirit of the Lord in this building tonight. The Lord really wants to do something great for somebody. Many times midweek services are a time when it's in the middle of the week and we're tired and we can't maybe give it like we can on Sunday night. But you know, I made a statement one time, what if the Lord comes on Monday? It'd be a lot of folks lost if they're led by the day of the week. But I'm glad that if we're prayed up, packed up, and ready to go, it makes no difference what time the Lord comes, we'll be ready to meet Him. In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and about the 12th verse, I believe it is, one little portion of Scripture that was going over and over in my mind today. Book of Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 12th verse. Said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. The last phrase, the violent taketh by force, seemingly was going over and over in my mind. I heard of, seemed like a lot of messages lately about this particular passage of Scripture. But I begin to relay in my mind that in the hour in which we live, Brother Austin Franks, the Lord wants to bless our souls. God has wanted to bless us. He has wanted to give us the joy and the peace and the happiness of salvation. Ever since the hour and the moment when He spilt the first drop of blood on the cross of Calvary. I thought as this precious brother was telling of what God had done for us, and I thought, oh God, how so many, many times we live beneath our privilege. The name of Jesus tonight means so very much to me. But it also means more than that when we think about what it represents and what it can do for our lives. I begin to relate in my mind, and you many times, no doubt, have been riding down the highway and you saw barricades up and where you had to detour and go another way. There was a reason for that barricade. Many times that barrier was placed there so that it might protect fresh concrete that had just been poured, or keeping someone from going into danger. But I'd like tonight to dwell for just a moment or two about the barriers that stand between us and getting just what we need from God. We live in the hour and the moment when it seems like people are distressed on every hand, and everybody you talk to has got some sort of problem. But there is a barrier that stands between us. And if violently we would move that barrier aside, the joy and the peace of God would overshadow our soul in such a manner that we would not think of that little frivolous thing. I thought tonight as this precious man stood and gave his testimony about how God had blessed him and went through him in his crisis. Think about it, waking up in the morning and going about your job thinking you're going to have a normal day, winding up spending 3 days not knowing where you are. We've got a God tonight that wants to bless our souls. He wants to do something great in our lives. Many times we don't think about that barrier that stands in front of us. Many and many a person tonight probably intending to be in the house of God. But there are various things that comes in front of us, and probably one of the greatest barriers there is the barrier of doubt. Doubting that it can happen. Every time I walk into this door, as I heard Sister Rita and Sister Anna Gale and them singing a while ago, I was made to realize, remember the hours that my grandmother talked about when she first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost years ago. And she had prayed and she had lived and tried to do what she thought was right in the sight of the Lord. Brother Hempfield was preaching a revival in Winsboro. And she went over a night or two and came back and went and talked to a pastor. He said, you stay away from that. That's not of God. But she felt something tugging inside of her soul. There was a barrier that stood there, and the tradition and all that she had ever been existed and been in stood right in front of her. And there was a little bit of doubt that it was was something wrong with it. But it, more than that, that was a desire to possess what those people possessed. She put her 8 or 9 children in bed one night and laid her head on a pillow. And she began to go to sleep, but she couldn't sleep. There was something digging in her soul. There was a barrier standing there saying, you don't need that. But there was something saying, yes, I want to see what it's all about. She raised her hands up and she began to cry out to the Lord. And she said, Lord, I don't know how to receive it. I don't know what you're talking about. But if it's for me, I want it. And all of a sudden, there was a light begin to come in that old dark room. It began to overshadow her. And the closer it got to it, all of a sudden it just burst into her. And she began to speak in that heavenly language. That barrier had been broken through, and she began to magnify and to praise and glorify God in a manner that she had never praised Him before. She had torn down the barrier that stood between her and real salvation. But you know what happened? The devil tried to bring that barrier right back again. Said, listen, you can't even call your children by name, and your husband will be coming in a few minutes. But there was so much joy that the barrier could not be put up again. She began to magnify and to praise and to magnify the Lord. And all of a sudden, she began to explode. And out of the bed she come and all through the house. When he came in, she began to tell him about it. And he was a little upset for a moment. But you know what he did? He followed her right on over to that church. And he got just what she got. I began to think about this, and I thought there was a man in the Bible by the name of Daniel. Daniel went through all types of obstacles. He went through all types of tribulations. The old king kept saying, Daniel, Daniel, you bow down. You do this and you do that. But Daniel said, oh no, I'm going to serve my God. Makes no difference what happens. I'm going to praise my God regardless. I can see the king as he probably looked into the window and he saw Daniel on his knees praying. 3 times a day, the Bible said he talked to his God. He was on his knees with dedication saying, God whom God bless. Well, the old king began to put barrier after barrier in front of him until he took him to a pot and he said, listen, Daniel, I'm going to throw you in that pack of lions down there. I'm going to throw you down there and let you just be eaten up by them. You know what Daniel said? He said, I'll serve my God anyway. Throw me ahead. Bring it to me. Don't worry about that. You know what happened? Daniel got down there and he went sound asleep because he was resting in the presence of the Lord. Folks, what we need to do tonight is tear down some barriers around us. We have the truth. We have the Word of God. We have the name of Jesus Christ written all around us and all about us. It lives inside of us. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. If we would stand on the promises of God tonight, we can do wonders, signs, and miracles. The Bible even says, greater than things that you did that you can do if you'll do it tonight. We played defense too long. We stood back in the corner and felt sorry because we possess what we possess. But when I hear miraculous things that God has done and I think about what God has done, it makes me realize what God will do if we'll stand on His promises. The barrier of the rebellious spirit. The barrier of the worldly spirit. But all of these things seem like great obstacles and great barriers in a Christian's life. But the worst barrier of all is that prayerless spirit. You know, if we could realize that prayer is like going to the service station. When you need gasoline, you pull up and you say, fill it up. If we can realize that when we have a need, I thought about, and I've known how to pray, and I've been in prayer all my life, but I've never thought about praying for the doctor, anointing him in the hospital. But you know, what I'm trying to relate tonight is the fact that we so many times take prayer for granted. We come to church and we expect the Lord to move in miraculous ways, and how many times have we asked God to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost before we ever get there? How many times have we ever come to the house of God saying, God, move in that minister's life or move in that person's life and sing tonight that they might stir one soul? The purpose of church, the purpose of
worship. And the purpose of the house of God is that we get refilled and refilled. And amongst the, better than that, that we reach out beside these walls and reach in the deep, dark corners of the city and round us to those far, deep ditches where those people are lost and outdone without God. The barrier that stands before us tonight, we need to violently begin and to approach it wanting to tear it apart. In high school, I used to always, especially eighth grade, when our football coach would come and he'd tell the boys, he said, listen, the best thing for you to do to learn to be a good tackle or a good blocking back is to go out and find the biggest cow in the pasture and see if you can knock him down. Well, that scared half of us to death. We had one boy that was bigger than I am now. That's pretty big. But he proceeded to try to do just that very thing. He came back the next day and had his arm all bandaged up and he walked in and the coach said, what happened to you? He said, coach, you said to see if I could knock that cow down, and I did, but the cow locked me down. But you know what he did? He came back, and he waited a couple of days before he could practice, but he came back and he put his gear on and he said, I'll go back and try again tomorrow. Many, many times we approach and do something for God. We're criticized. Many, many times we start to approach and do something for the Lord and we have a fall or something moves upon us in the opposite direction than we had anticipated. But if we realize tonight that we have the greatest of all, that Jesus Christ stands beside of us. I thought about Brother Wall talking about the rock. He's that rock tonight. I think about Peter. He said, upon this rock I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell itself shall not prevail against it. God desires tonight to move in our hearts and our souls in such a manner that we've never experienced before in our lives. We often get just what we come to church for. No more and no less. But God desires tonight to give us something greater than that. He desires to give us something out of the ordinary. A few short weeks ago, it's been almost a year now. Sister Bonnie can tell you about this. This is a cousin of hers. Lady who never felt the Spirit of the Lord came into our service. And she would sit there and she would enjoy the blessings of the Lord. She'd enjoy church. But she didn't get involved. She was just that. Because she'd come to the house of the Lord. One night she was sitting in service and we began to preach. And before the message was even over, before we could even give an altar call, all of a sudden, we heard someone begin to speak in tongues. It was a man sitting in the corner of the church, and it wasn't but just a few moments that this lady rose to her feet, throwed her hands up, and the fire of God fell on her. And she began to dance and shout and praise and magnify the Lord. She got a blessing that she had never gotten before in her life. For a solid 2 hours, she magnified and praised the Lord. She received some strength that she had never received before. We took her and we baptized her in the name of Jesus Christ and she began to progress. But it wasn't but about 3 or 4 months later she faced one of the greatest trials she'd ever faced in her life. Her husband was involved in an accident. Serious accident. We went to that room and the intensive care. We stood there and that man was breathing real heavy and wondering if the next breath might be his last. And I looked and I said, Sister D'Lo, what you received in that church is the same thing that can raise him up from where he is right now. We lifted our hands to the Lord. It took a long time of recovery, but the man's at home today. What I'm trying to impress upon you tonight is, you may be facing a crisis that the Greeks were talking about tonight. You may be facing a crisis down the road that your Sister D'Lo faced down the road. But there is a God that is standing with you. The Bible said that He'll be with you even unto the end of the world. He desires to bless the church tonight. He desires to be in our lives. He desires to be a part of our life. He desires to be the power of our life. He desires to be the King of all kings. He desires to be the Lord of our lives tonight. But in Him desiring to be that, we've got to in return do something for Him. The spirit of self-gratification has become a barrier that has destroyed many, many a person.
a blessing, a joy, an accomplishment. And raise their hands and say, I thank God that I possess this. But church, it's not what we were yesterday, but it's what we are today and what we'll be when God calls His church out. Some folks serve God or attend church or stay out just for self-gratification. Let's tear that barrier down tonight and let's say, God, not my will, but thine be done. Then there's a barrier of a disobedient spirit. Brother Wayne, what is a disobedient spirit? It's doing that which is contrary to the will of God. The Bible spoke of that many would be called, but few would be chosen. I heard a great message at the youth rally of the night about being anointed, but yet also being dedicated. We need tonight to push our dedication and let those barriers that stand before us be pushed aside. Chosen of the Lord for great work, but also be doing that work with all we can, with all our might, with all our soul. Say, God, let me be in your will. A few weeks ago, we had a young man in our church who had a real good job. He traveled all over the place. The Lord moved upon him to stay and live in Winsboro. He gave up job. He stayed there. He bought a service station. For the first month or so, a few weeks, he went into that service station. He just, all of his savings, but also he just began to drain. He got to a point, he said, Brother Wayne, I know I'm in the will of the Lord. And tears would be flowing in his eyes. He said, I know God told me to stay. But he said, I don't know whether I can stand it or not. I said, Brother Gene, just keep holding on. If God told you to stay, He'll make a way. If God wants you to stay, He'll do something for you. I said, let's pray together. And let's just make sure we're in the will of the Lord. We began to pray, and a week later, he'd been involved in another type of business that he had done, and he felt moving of the Lord to kind of move away from the service station and get involved in that. And the very next week, God blessed him so that he could not hardly believe it. The last 3 weeks has been that way. He came up to me and he said, Brother Wayne, I came so close to just packing up and getting away from the will of God. But folks, when it gets to the point we think we ain't gone as far as we can go, we can just get to the point where we were when we wanted the Holy Ghost. When we wanted the Lord, we said, God, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'll take all away from me, but get your Spirit in my life. We need to possess that type of attitude as a saint of God, and then we'll see more saints of God born into the kingdom of God. Let's not possess a disobedient spirit, but as God speaks, let's go. I can see Jonah as the Lord said, Jonah, go, and the Jonah said, no. The Lord said, Jonah, go. Jonah said, no. But you know what happened? Jonah went. It was after the struggle and after the tribulation and after a lot of prayer and dedication saying, oh, God, get me out of here. But Jonah still went. What would have happened if he had willingly went the first time and said, Lord, how do you want me to be there? When do you want me to be there? What do you want me to say when I get there? If he had just been obedient. Oh, so many times that barrier gets to be high. And it seems like living for God is not the proper thing to do. So many, many times it seems like that we're the only person that living for the Lord. Tonight, if I could impress one thing to you as I come to close with this, it would be this. In the hour in which we live in, the greatest blessing, the greatest joy, the greatest gift, the greatest possession, the greatest thing that a man or woman, boy or girl can have is the Spirit of the Lord in their life. Why? This Spirit of the Lord that we possess today is the same Spirit of God that Daniel had when they throwed him in that lion's den. I can picture in my mind as the three Hebrew children were thrown in the fire furnace and as they approached it. They had went through the barrier of doubt. They had went through the barrier of fear, no doubt. They had went through all the complications that had come with them coming to the point where they stood at the final decision being made. And they said, "King, go ahead and throw us in. We made our mind up. We had rather die than bow down. Go ahead." God saw that those men were going to live for Him regardless of the cost. God saw their dedication. He saw their desire to do the will of God. He saw their determination to be in the will of God. He saw that they did not have a bad spirit, but a good spirit. He saw that they desired to be in the complete will of God. And in doing so, what did God do? He got right in the middle of the fire with them, and He let it burn and let it burn, but they were not burned at all. The world cries tonight, inflation. The world cries tonight that our crime rate is rising. The world cries tonight with all the problems and all the financial woes of our world. But as a Christian tonight, we need to cry, "Hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Thank God for filling me with His Spirit. Thank God for filling me with His joy." And the greatest thing we can do as a Christian tonight is to stand on two solid feet and become stable Christians, stable children of the Lord. Walk amidst a world that's full of envy, hatred, and strife, and jealousy, and bitterness. Walk through a world that all the sin is all of its rampage of that. And let our light so shine that the world can see that people can live for God and possess God's Spirit in a world like this. Oh, there's joy. The Bible said the Holy Ghost is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. When I think of what God's done for me and how He's blessed me and where He's brought me from and where He's brought me to, oh, I just can't help but lift my hands and say, "Thank God for saving me. Thank God for putting me where I'm at." Oh, when I hear testimonies like we've heard in this building tonight, folks, we are to be praising and magnifying the Lord, thanking Him for His joy and for His peace, for His happiness. You know, the world today thrives upon the problems that exist in the church. We ought to thrive on the Spirit and let the problems weed themselves out. Thrive on the joys, the peace, the happiness, instead of worrying about coveting, worry about self-exalting ourselves, worrying about gaining something for ourselves. That's worry about somebody praying through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's worry about somebody getting healed. That's worry about somebody that has a financial woe that God comes and rescues them and blesses them. Let's pray about somebody that has family problems and let them know that there's a God who wants to put unity in that family. Let's pray and let our young people experience and see the moving of the power of God in the church so that they may desire to have that. Oh, I'm glad I know the Lord tonight. And if there's a barrier in your life, whatever it might be, many people say, "Oh, I can't help but saying bad words. I can't help but doing this." Whatever the barrier is, it may be small, it may be great, but why don't we do as the Scripture said, "The violent taketh it by force." Why don't we push it down? Why don't we push it aside and say, "I'm going to serve God"? Take a giant step for Jesus. Oh, you know, as a child, we used to play May I, and they'd say, "Take baby steps and one step backwards." Why don't we just reach out and take a big old giant step for Jesus tonight? A big old giant step saying, "God, I'm going to take it in faith, and You take me the rest of the way." I believe He'll do that. Could we stand to our feet? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to do something in our lives. He wants to bless us. He wants to put the joy and the peace and the satisfaction in our souls. Lift our hands together tonight and say, "God, remove all barriers. Move all crisis. Move all the things that stand between us tonight. Let me live for Jesus." Oh, yes.
Amen. You've got to keep walking. Keep walking, walking in the light of the someday. If you want the right way, so keep walking in the light of
hope. Okay, let's all come forward.
You've got to keep
amen. Come forward and worship God.
If I don't want
you need anything, move out of your life.
The light
talk
of
to God about it. He'll do it.
You've got to have a someday.